Okay, welcome everybody to the meeting of the Regulatory Committee, Wednesday the 22nd of March. Before we kick things off, I would ask for a moment's silence in memory of Councillor Maggie Lawton. Thank you. Okay, thank you. In regard to today's meeting, any apologies? I see Councillor Brown, I'm sure he will be arriving in due course. Confirmation of agenda. I see there's four agenda items in attendance. Welcome Marion and directors and others. Conflicts of interest. Are there any conflicts of interest this morning? Public forum. Minutes. I've read the minutes. I'm happy to move the minutes. Do we have a seconder for the minutes? Councillor Deeker. Those for.
Aye.
Against. Carried. Any matters arising from the minutes? I see there were a number of Councillor Laws.
At the last meeting, there was a decision to send a letter. I think I moved the motion.
Yeah, there was about three different statements. Was that the Lagra siphon one?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so that's
and I haven't seen a copy of that letter, and I'd like to see one, please.
Okay.
And I'd like to know what was in it.
I think the motion was that the LC approach central government ministers with pension improvement and federal resources and lake recycling control management in Southern Lakes. Mr. Bodeker, so there's been some progress there, yeah?
And through you, Mr. Chairman. The Chairman wrote to MP
Dean,
Jackie Dean. Seeking advice as to how we best progress that matter. So that letter has been sent. We have not had a response from sustain on that matter yet.
Okay, and in relation to Councillor Law's request to maybe get a copy of any correspondence or part of that communication process, how would something like that be communicated generally? Would that be brought back to this committee or?
Well, it was written, the Chair wrote it,
okay.
Which is appropriate. It was a letter to politicians, and I would imagine that the Chair may well consider it appropriate to report in his report to the council.
Sounds good.
When will that happen?
To council meeting.
Council. The next council in
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, that's not adequate. Can I speak on this motion?
Yes, certainly.
That is not the motion that we formed. The motion is clear here, and in fact, the motion that I formed was crystal clear, that we approach central government ministers with the intention of proving and further resourcing. Now that's the motion. The motion wasn't to write a letter to the local MP. The motion was to go to central government ministers and seek some fairly direct action on this straight away. Now that's why I'm asking this question, because there isn't a very adequate way in which this council deals with motions that it passes. Like, for example, you don't know what they've done. And I had to ask the question. It should have been recorded and reported here as to what the progress of that motion and every motion that this council passes in all these meetings.
With respect, I was going to bring this matter up myself, but carry on.
Okay, well,
Councillor.
So what we needed is sort of an action plan on the right hand column that says, right, this is the motion we passed on this day, what action have we taken since then? And we need that column in all future meetings for all committees, I might add. But again, I come back to this issue. We were to approach government ministers. Now, I have to question whether approaching Jackie Dean, a relatively low-profile member of parliament, by letter, is the right way to go about enacting this particular motion, which is for a high-level approach to people like Nick Smith, and for the chairman to get on a plane if necessary and go and have set up meetings directly with those kind of ministers to start this kind of discussion.
Yeah. Okay, no, thank you. Councillor Woodhead, just in terms of, I'm sure this would be step one.
So a little more detail, Mr. Chairman, which would have been reported in my chair's report in a couple of weeks' time. I met with Ms. Dean. That meeting was programmed well before this discussion in the previous committee.
Yeah.
And I asked her what would be the best way to proceed with the outcomes that were required from this motion. We talked around the relevant ministers and their understanding of this issue and experience. She suggested that I leave it with her, and she was going to get back to me on how to proceed. She was going to follow it up internally. I accepted that advice and put that in writing, which I'm happy to share, and that's where it sits at the moment.
Very good. And you may further report on it in your chair's report in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
Yeah. Any further discussion on this particular matter? So I look forward to maybe an update at that point. Other matters arising, that the CE be requested to provide a paper on establishing effective council management communications in regard to constituent complaints, and I understand that's in hand. That's happening.
It has not been completed.
It's not been completed, and is that something that would come out in the CE report or an update?
It came through this committee. I mean, it hasn't been able to be completed. I mean, it can do if you wish. I mean, it's probably appropriate to come out in the next committee as it was generated from this committee.
Certainly. Okay, and another matter arising was the geographical maps indicating the location of water takes in the region provided all councillors.
It's been completed.
And it's been completed. Well done. Any other matters arising? Okay. So we'll move on to the first agenda item.
No, Mr. Chairman, sorry. I don't think we've dealt with the issue that I raised and that you've actually flagged as well, which is the way in which we deal with motions that the council passes and the reports back. Now, it seems to me, and in most territorial authorities, there's an action program that goes with a motion. And so what happens is that you draw a sort of a column on the right-hand side of your paper, and you make the notice of the notions you've passed. And they don't just relate to the last meeting, it could be the meeting beforehand or the meeting beforehand. And then you note the progress against that particular motion. Now, this council doesn't do it, and I think it's a flaw in its meetings procedure, because it means that you can pass motions that you don't necessarily, like you have to ask the question, well, what progress have we made on this?
Yeah.
And it would have been better if there had been the note to say, well, actually, we've sent the letter off, met Ms. Dean, here's a copy of the letter, and those be attached to the agenda for the next meeting so that we can, you know, flag that action against it.
And I mean, like, for this particular, you know, for the previous minutes, after the next meeting, those previous minutes disappear. So some of those action items will disappear. But whether you're suggesting that they become...
What I'm suggesting is you've always got an action plan. So you've got your motions have always got an action. If I'd known, I would have brought, for example, my old councils once. But I've seen it used in other councils as well, and we took it from the Auckland City Council actually. You have on the right hand side, Brian, your motions that you've passed.
Okay.
You have an action plan on the right, and it notes progress against that action plan. It means that a motion never disappears off the books until there's 100% completion of that particular motion. And it allows council every committee round to be able to mandate the progress that you've made against that motion.
Okay. Peter, any comment, any response?
We have that document which we use internally. So what the councillor is suggesting is that is part of the agendas, which is fine.
Yeah. How about you look into it? But I think the key point is that as a councillor always the same, well, how do you keep track? And that's one example of possibly how you could. So I don't think it's up to us to tell the CE necessarily how to do his job. But have you take that back examine it, and that's one of the options. And it sounds like it's got some teeth.
To be honest with you, Brian, I actually think it is our job. It's not the chief executive's job. It's papers that are prepared for us as a governance team. So if we want it prepared in that way,
yep,
then that's what we decide to do when we instruct the chief executive.
Okay, so is there any discussion on this matter?
No, well, I've got a spring of cold air coming home out of those tins. It may well be a kind of candle the hot air, but the fact is it's damn annoying.
Is it? Okay, that's good. We're going to stick to this particular matter, and then we'll deal with your matter.
Well, can we move the motion then, Mr. Chairman?
But no, just before we move the motion, is there any comment on that? Is it a sense of that's a good idea?
Well, I have experienced the same thing through CODC and the Community Board, and also Central Lakes Trust also had the same.
So you think it's a good idea?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Is there anybody who thinks this is a bad idea? Okay, should we, as a council, Councillor Woodhead, you're the chair of this council, do you think we should try it out?
Well, I think the question goes back to Mr. Baedeker and see where we can have this follow up on the agenda, if that's what's okay. The wish. So, yeah.
I think we've got some traction there.
Yeah.
Perhaps I can provide Mr. Baedeker with territorial council examples for provisions for our future.
Okay, but in terms of process, I think you're going to move a motion.
Yes, well, it's just that we have that our future committee minutes or future committee agendas include action against motions passed at previous meetings.
Okay, do we have a seconder for that?
We'll do, Mr.
Councillor Bell. If no further discussion, I will put the motion. Those for? Aye. Against? Carried. Okay, well done. We'll move on to our first agenda item for items to discuss in this committee. The first one is Biosecurity and RMA Monitoring Report, 21st of January to the 3rd of March. This report has a new format and looks at current issues and possibly a bit more detail. Scott, yes?
Yes.
I'll have to get my iPad going here. There are a number of topics. Some of them have been referred to before: the pollution response oil spill, the harbour master activities, where the harbour master function is currently being undertaken by consultants, biosecurity response, Velvet Leaf, where the emphasis is around completion and implementation of Velvet Leaf farm management plants, aquatic pest activity, where LINZ is establishing a new formal collaborative management group, the Lake Wakatipu Aquatic Weed Management Group. Dunedin City Council Drinking Water Boards, where the integrity of the bore structures surrounding the DCC's drinking boards in the Montgomery area is being looked at. Wallaby Action, Biocontrol of Pests, where the New Zealand Rabbit Coordination Group collectively made the decision to delay the release of K5 until next autumn, so that's 2018, yeah?
Yes.
So there it is. I'm going to open up that report for discussion. Councillor Laws?
Well, obviously the rabbits.
Councillor Bell, who wants to talk first?
Oh,
I
was going to start with the Wallabies and Yeo rabbits. Through you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. McLean has sent an email around saying the sighting of 5 more wallabies in the Linders area. I'm just wondering, with the amounts of money that we've got and the increase of these sightings, whether we're going to continue. Through you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. McLean, will we have sufficient funding to carry out some of the work that needs to be done, as it looks like there is going to be more and more increased sightings in outside of the boundary? Whether there's enough in that.
Because we've got a significant financial sum budget for that type of work here.
Yeah, it's correct. Through you, Mr. Chairman, the funding increase that's we have currently and is in the draft annual plan covers the program that was presented to Council. But certainly as the program progresses, we're getting a much better handle on the issue and the distribution, the pathways into Otago. So certainly over the next 12 months, as we're starting to think about long-term plan preparation, so we'll have a much better idea then of funding required to take that program forward.
Thank you. And with regards to the rabbits and the K5, I guess I'm just wondering, 2018, why are we, I know why we are waiting for it to come to 2018, but how come with all the research and everything that's been done in places like Tasmania and Australia and mainland, how, and the prevention that there's a drug available for pet rabbits and all those sorts of things, and that, why are we taking so long and having to wait for another year? What's your information that you're receiving with regards to that?
Through the chair, the statutory approval process has not yet been completed. That's likely to, when it is completed, that'll be further into winter than third autumn, and the science tells us that the optimum release time for the greatest efficacy of the virus is autumn, and that's to do with the very low numbers of young immune rabbits around at autumn, still with the good amount of vectors, flies, to spread the virus. So if we were to, should it be granted at the end of the statutory timeframe, and we made the decision to release in winter, which would go against the scientific advice, just even the fly activity itself is minimised, but there are also a larger number of younger rabbits that are immune to the current virus, so it is a real risk. So we've relied on the advice, so that's scientific advice that's coming out of Australia and applied to the New Zealand context as well. So the benefits of that, whilst we're disappointed, it's important those statutory processes take place. And Australia has proceeded with their release, so what that'll mean is we can watch that program unveil and take any learnings from their release and apply it to our release strategy in 2018.
So. And just through you, Mr. Chairman, the capsules or the drugs that are going to be available for those who may farm private rabbits or whatever, pets, is that going to be made available?
Through Mr. Chair, that's part of the process that's taking place at the moment for the ACVM assessment. That's an aspect that they look at. So, as I say, it's important those processes take place.
Okay, any further discussion on rabbits? It's K5. Councillor Laws?
With respect, this was the outcome that, you know, I advised three months ago. The process is convoluted in Wellington because there are some political implications there. And my understanding is that one of the reasons for delay is to have a look at what's happening in Australia and to make an assessment of it. I'm still not 100% confident that we'll actually get approval, but putting that to one side, there's no criticism of the ORC intended nor implied in this. This is out of your hand. The question I have, though, is around communications. Now, there is an expectation in the community provided by the Otago Regional Council, and in good faith, that this Khaleesi virus would be released for this coming autumn. That expectation has now been dashed. It's an expectation that is not just held by those in the agrarian community or economy, but also by those in central Otago who, whether they are recreational golfers, because I know the Cromwell Golf Course has dug up something wicked at the moment, or other areas as well that this might have been coming and they've been sort of sitting waiting for something to happen. Have we got a communication strategy to communicate? Because I'm a bit concerned that we're going to be holding targeted community meetings. I don't think that's the way to handle it. I think a press release that outlines what the case is and that is widely distributed would inform all of the community, not just a few. I also asked the next question, Scott, apart from that communication strategy meeting.
Shall we just address the communication? Because that's an important point. Yeah. Did you want to refer to Caroline or
no? I'll answer that.
You'll answer that. Thank you.
The applicant to import the virus is Environment Canterbury, and I understand that they'll be making a press release today. And part of the national program is to roll out a communications package as well. So that's been led nationally, and we will assist through the communications directorate in rolling that national communications package out. So that'll kickstart today with a statement from Environment Canterbury being the applicant.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the answer, Scott. I think you need to be communicating directly to our constituents from the Otago Regional Council to our constituents. And I think leaving it to Environment Canterbury is fraught. In addition to which, there are a number of communications that won't be going from ECANS to our smaller regions. I'm thinking particularly to publications in Wallingford, Queenstown, Cromwell that are localised. That the Otago Regional Council regularly, as I understand, communicates with, but ECANS won't necessarily. So I think the press release should come from the Otago Regional Council to our own constituents. I really do want to raise that quite.
And that seems a reasonable point. Ms. Rowe, thank you, Carolyn.
So what we typically do when there's a national campaign that's been prepared by either a central government agency or another regional council is that we will on-send that or potentially tailor, but make sure that the messages are consistent. So it's around keeping consistent national messages, but we will push that out to our regional offices as well and potentially look at branding that up. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Well, I don't want it potentially branded. I wanted it branded. I mean, I don't want there to be an equivocation on this. I think the communication needs to come from the ORC, given that this area is the most affected in New Zealand.
Yeah. No, hey, your point's well made, and I think it's fair to say that Carolyn and team have taken that point on board and that there was a process regardless. Councillor's got a second matter, but in relation to communication?
Yep, it is.
Communication?
Yep.
Okay, speak away.
Well, I was just going to make, through you, Mr. Chairman, that I have it on, I think, on my phone here. Dr. Tania Cox from Canberra has been doing all the promotional work right out for the whole of Australia, whether it be in Tasmania or wherever. But the way it's connected, it is getting simply right to the people that require the information and that. So you can tap into it and you'll find it. I have it here. There is apps available now. I'm still talking about Australia, so I'm guessing this national coordination should be equally done. I mean, it's coming straight from the person that pushes the green light.
Yeah, it sounds like you're snapping this into reality, Councillor Bell, but there must be some risks associated with the messages coming from an environment where K5 is out, and the environment where K5 is yet to be released or yet to be even approved. Scott, any comment on that in terms of these mixed messages?
Through the chair, by having that national message, that'll avoid mixed messages. It's really important that we, as Mr. Rowe says, we support that national campaign. Certainly, it'll be with an Otago context applied. It's the message will be out there, and it will cover off any of those risks of illegal importations, etc.
Okay.
Yep.
Councillor Lawson.
Well, I mean, we've got two members of the media here. I think it's Radio New Zealand and the Otago Daily Times. You know, the genie is out of the bottle. The reality is that, you know, if we're going to go through some sort of strategy and here we are talking about the fact that it's not going to be released, it does seem a bit odd that we wouldn't be doing it today ourselves. And getting this out as widely as possible and having that background information. So I just think that delay is senseless. I mean, here we have, the news media reporting quite rightly on something that's quite rightly an open session, and the whole of Otago are involved. So I don't understand the necessity for delay. And given that it's publicly available these minutes, then there should have been a media strategy going out with these minutes, quite frankly, particularly given the level of public interest in our region. The second issue that I would also raise is around pet rabbits, because one of the issues that...
Before we get to pet rabbits, I think we've discussed the communication. It's a serious matter. Taking your points on board. We have got some media coverage here already. Ms. McLean's pointed out that there's a national communication on which we'll build on. There is some time urgency. It's an important matter. We've got that on board. Okay, pet rabbits.
I want to pick up also on Graham's point. One of the uneases within our region is around pet rabbits. You won't believe this, but it's quite serious, and it doesn't just relate to Dunedin urban dwellers. It also, you know, affects people in Cromwell. Alex have got pet rabbits as well. I was going to say that one of the things that I think needs to go out in the communication today is that the veterinary advice is that this virus is able to be vaccinated against four pet rabbits in exactly the same way that the last one has, and that information has not been communicated widely in our community, otherwise we wouldn't be getting the concern that's coming back for us. So I'm just flagging that I do think that needs to be a part of any communication that's sent out today.
Well, yeah, no doubt Mrs. Rowan, Ms. McLean and Co will consider that particular matter. We're still a distance away from this K5 to be approved, yeah? Yeah, before Councillor Kempton.
It just struck me. Immunity for pet rabbits. I have views about pet rabbits, but they're a bit Gareth Morganish, but so we won't go there. But if pet rabbits can be given a level of immunity, then there becomes the issue of security and reverse immunity to the wild flock. Is that an issue at all? Because if that is, that needs to be talked about as well. That is, if a pet rabbit gets out, buggers the initiative.
Any comments, Mr. McLean?
There is a high level of immunity to the current virus out in the wild population, so I think with most viruses, there's a level of immunity that's built up over time.
Yeah, but in terms of this new virus, and is it important that pet rabbits are secured and isolated from wild rabbits, not because they might catch it, but they might actually increase the spread of immunity?
I suspect the answer to that question is why I hope that the national scientific process and approval process is looking at all these aspects, as opposed to, hey, let's do it, and then regretting it for some obvious reasons.
What I'm saying is that if that is an element, then there needs to be a higher level of responsibility on the part of pet rabbit keepers, and that needs to be communicated.
Sounds good. Okay, thank you. Councillor Brown.
I'm just wondering, assuming the virus is going to be released next autumn, will the council be looking at opportunities to work with landowners to get themselves in a position where they're better prepared for the release of the virus next autumn? For example, more rabbit-proof fencing, or trying to get the numbers down to a lesser level before next autumn. Will the council be looking at opportunities to do that?
Through the chair, the message that needs to come out of the ORC and always has been is undertake the primary control this winter where possible and feasible. Rabbit-proof fence, particularly for those smaller urban areas where the rabbits are a nuisance. More than anything else, but yes, certainly undertake your primary control. That's the land occupier's responsibility to do that, regardless of the virus. So.
I just think that this is potentially a one-off hit, and we need to maximise the use of it.
Yep.
So we need to be thinking about how to do that.
Exactly. I think it's the challenge is to turn any frustration from the delay into some positive progress forward, to put us in the best position we possibly can be to take advantage of this K5 if the approval process approves it. Any further discussion?
Just before you do hop along, Chairman.
Hop along?
Where I actually live, the existing virus has suddenly depleted the rabbit population by at least 60%. I don't know how widespread that is. But also, what was in my mind, if we were going to release it and we were in a very pertinent area, that would probably be up to have the new virus released. The fact that population has been suddenly depleted like that, presumably that would have some effect on the success of the release of the new virus, not having the higher population.
Mr. McLean.
Yep. Through the chair. Not necessarily. It's a different strain. So the virus is active at various times of the year in different pockets. I don't think that'll have too much of an issue. There'll still be sufficient rabbit numbers around to create an epidemic.
That answers the question. Oh, the other question though was, is there other any reports of the Ebola virus having such good effects? This is the time of the year it often does reoccur. Are there any other areas? Because anyone I've spoken to, they've said, no, for some unknown reason in our isolated little area, there's been a massive decline.
It's this time of the year that you'll start to see it active in places.
Councillor Deacon.
Yeah, I'm sure you're sick of this, Mr. Chairman. You wouldn't have anticipated such a long discussion on this topic. But Councillor Brown has reminded me through his very wise observation about using the means we have to control, suppress, manage populations before the virus arrives so that it can be most effective. And I'm reminded of that, and I'm aware of the danger of anecdotal evidence, but a number of us 2 weeks ago were on an orchard just northwest of Cromwell, and we heard an almost heartbreaking story from the young orchardist there about the effect of rabbit infestation on his business. He had two pieces of land adjoining his own, one of which apparently had an absentee owner, and the other he thought was owned by a local authority. The rabbit problem was so great that he thought his business was at risk. He had put rabbit-proof fencing around his orchard. The rabbits climbed over it. He added about another meter, he thought, of netting onto those fences, at his own cost, of course, trying to do the right thing by his property. And somebody asked him, one of us asked him, how long has this been going on for? And he said, decades. Which raised the question in my mind, and I'm raising it here now, how the hell can a problem like that go on for decades, when I've always been told as a councillor over many years that there is a procedure here? If rabbits exceed a certain population level, and no control apparently is going on, we get in touch with the landowner, whether he be present or absentee, whether he be private or public. We conduct, or have conducted for us, rabbit control, and then we bill the landowner. Now, it seems to me either I've got it wrong and have had for years, or for some reason northwest of Cromwell this has never happened.
Thank you, Councillor Deacon. You're not the only councillor to say we need to do better on this, and that's one of the reasons why through by Councillor Noon, we've got the pest reference group to actually front up to this matter and other pest matters. But at the end of the day, though, what was the sticky point that, you know, to answer Councillor Deacon's question, Mr. McLean, that what was the shortcoming in the current strategy in terms of the ORC role, in terms of contractor on, it's above a certain mel, certain density, charging the landowner. Why wasn't more of that happening?
I'm aware of that situation, but I'm not prepared to talk about individual landowners. But there's an extensive compliance file, active one, on the neighbouring property. The current pest management plan requires property owners to submit what's called a property plan on how they intend on reducing rabbit numbers over a 3-year period. That's probably the big sticking point. other regions you go, if you find a property non-compliant, you go straight to a notice of direction. But our property, our pest management plan, and we have to operate within the bounds of the plan, it's a very long drawn out process.
Decades?
Well, no, it lasts for 3 years.
I guess, though.
But what I can assure you is that property owner has never, despite being asked, made a complaint. So,
you
happy
to
discuss that offline and show you the file if you wish.
Yep. Well, you certainly made a heartfelt complaint to a group of regional councillors.
Okay, but certainly there's some shortcomings in the current approach. I think there'd be general agreement, and that's one of the key points to be chewed over by this reference group. We do need to do better.
Yeah, right, we do.
Councillor Laws.
Well, I just want to endorse Michael's views, but I mean, the problem is that the pest management strategy is out of date. It's also, I mean, it's put it together in 2009, 7 years ago, and we have not had the facilities, I believe, to do compliance and monitoring properly. But the issue here you've just raised, though, is the good one. And that is, Scott, are we being tough enough upon those landowners? Now, you say you've had a file there on the, just as you've used as an example, on the adjoining landowner. Now, a file of compliance, have we taken action to address the issue? Or are we content with threatening letters?
Through the chair, we take action where we can. It is very difficult. There's a statement in the pest management plan that says every property plan must be consistent with a neighbouring property plan where no natural or artificial rabbit barrier exists. So in most cases, in central Otago, that can be tens of thousands of hectares. You need one property and all of that to be compliant at the time of visits, which is MAL 3, which is still a number of rabbits. If they're compliant at the time of visit, but everyone else isn't, everyone, and on the assumption that everyone does their control in accordance with their property plan, by the time they do that, come springtime, that compliant property, rabbits are in still sufficient numbers, they breed, they're all of a sudden non-compliant, but those rabbits reinvade. That's the major problem. So, yeah. But we have a real opportunity here to think a bit more strategically about our approach to rabbit control, and as the chair says, that'll be something that we'll test with the reference group and with our community as how they want to approach rabbit control.
Maybe there is a timing opportunity there, you know, with this K5. If K5 was to be released autumn 2018, then that gives the ORC, as one member of the community, some time to maybe review, which is what we're doing, our pest strategy, and maybe there could be some positive changes within that time frame to put us in a better position to take advantage of the K5 release. Yeah? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Chairman. I mean, the K5 or any virus is not going to be the silver bullet. So primary control still needs to be undertaken.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Rabbits, are we done for the moment? Okay, for this report, the report recommendation is that the report be received.
Oh, sorry, one other item, Mr. Chair.
One other item?
Yes, it's the item that the Chief Executive, it comes under your committee to do with the bottled water and the Bodecker's reported yesterday, which is the memorandum that went out to all councillors from Chris Shaw, Manager of Consents.
Okay, I was...
Is this the proper place to raise that?
Well, to be honest, there is no proper place because it's not an agenda item, but with the committee's indulgence, is the committee of the view to discuss this particular matter here and now?
Well, it could be referred to the full council meeting if necessary.
Or referred to the full council meeting?
Well, we have a procedure.
Yeah, we do have a procedure. It isn't on the agenda. As much as we'd probably like to discuss a lot of matters,
yes,
we do have a limited time. And, yeah, I'd probably like to talk about it too, but it's not on the agenda.
Okay, so, Mr. Bodecker, Is there an opportunity, maybe even through your report? I mean, there's already part of a report that's been circulated. Maybe at the next council meeting, is there an opportunity for this council to debate this matter based on some report? Yeah?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, if this council is requesting that I report on that matter at the council meeting, then it's your request and I will do so.
Okay. Okay, and that may be a motion, Councillor Kemp.
I'm uncertain of what the matter is.
Exactly.
What's happened here is quite reasonably a councillor has said, could you give me some information, because I'd like to know and some of my constituents would like to know. That information has been provided.
Councillor Kempton.
Yeah, sorry.
So you wish to debate this matter now?
There is no matter to debate.
Okay.
There is no matter.
It sounds like there may have been. Councillor Laws, are you going to put a motion?
Well, I mean, all I'm asking is that this matter, that the Chief Executive has written, and very delighted to see it, but last night about 10:06, the memo was provided to councillors, including myself, outlining the background to the public issue relating to water bottling consents. I'm a new councillor, I wasn't aware that there was an issue. It has now become a significant political issue in this country, with the Prime Minister referring this matter to a reference group for the purpose of addressing it at a policy level, and that has been indicated as an issue.
Yeah, I think as a council it would be good to have a heads up and a discussion on that. Mr. Bodecker, does it need to be a motion, or I think you've probably taken that on board that you will refer to this matter in your CE report at the next council meeting?
That's what you're requesting, then I will. It will be along the lines of the paper that I sent last night.
Yeah.
So it'll essentially be that.
Certainly. Thank you. Okay, any further discussion in relation to this report here and now?
Happy to move the recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Have a seconder?
Yep.
Opposed? For?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Right, thank you. Second report, Resource Management Act 91, Biosecurity Act 93, Building Act 2000. Yeah. Yeah, enforcement activities from January to the 3rd of March. So there were zero infringement notices in this last period, 21st of January to 3rd of March. 5, authorised legal proceedings. 6, infringement notices. 3, authorised legal proceedings. 0 abatement notices and 1 notice to fix with respect to an earth embankment dam in Otago. But before I open it up, just for clarification, Marion or Mr. Bodecker, this data here in this reporting period, 21st of January, I'm just trying to think when their last committee meeting actually was. Are these numbers new, the first time we've seen these numbers in the last reporting period, or are they some of them the same numbers as reported previously?
No, if you look on the table through you, Mr. Chairman, you'll see the period of your machine to work.
Yeah, no, it says 21st of January to the 3rd of March. I'm just trying to think when our last committee meeting was. Yeah, 8th of February. So I think some of these numbers we've seen before, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's right.
Yeah, well, I haven't got last agenda, and the last agenda will tell you when that.
It's a similar pattern in numbers. That's my understanding. I'm going to open the report up for discussion. Okay. If no discussion,
happy to move on.
Yeah, thank you. So we've got a move. Dr. Palmer, just in relation to the notice to fix with respect to the earth embankment dam in Otago, that's not an unusual process. Is there any clarification? I mean, is that something we should be alarmed about, or is that sort of business as usual administration?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it's normal process. In this case, the dam, as constructed, differed from the building consent.
Yes.
And the law requires us to issue a notice to fit to require a certificate of acceptance application be made to prove that what was constructed still complies with the building code.
Yes.
And this is not uncommon.
So it's not necessarily a cause of alarm, it's simply a process, a necessary process step, you know, from a legal perspective.
That's correct. There's no reason to believe the dam is unsafe.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we...
Mr. Chairman, I think rather than the cause of alarm, I think we should be pleased, because it shows that our inspection, it shows that the procedure that we use through Dr. Palmer's team and Mr. McRae's team is working.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing.
Okay, thank you. And apologies, isn't it, from the signatory, Fraser McRae, because he's an Environment Court...
he's an Environment Court mediating the RPS today, yeah. all this week.
Sure. Okay, so we have a mover. Do we have a seconder for this report? The report be noted. I think Councillor Kempton's, Councillor Hope's hand went up. Councillor Hope. Okay, no further discussion. Those for...
Aye, against.
Thank you. Consent and Building Act report, 23rd of January to 3rd of March. A number of these matters have been reported before. The Port of Otago Limited, there were various dredging dumping sites. The decision was given granting permits, and the appeal period closes 9th of March. Mrs. Weaver, were there any appeals?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there's one appeal from Port Otago over one condition.
Oh, from Port Otago, yeah.
And it's a relatively simple matter which we think we can resolve by agreement.
Okay, well done. Thank you. Oceana Gold, New Pit Waste Rock Stack and Water Dam. There were some appeals. Dates for mediation are being sorted. Waitaki District Council, there were various objections about water metering conditions being resolved and promised by staff under delegation. Any comments there at all, Mrs. Weaver?
Mr. Chairman, the Oceana Gold mediation was set down for the 31st of March, and the issues have been refined by dialogue with the appellants and the consent holder, such that the only issues really under appeal now are district council issues to do with roading and land covenants, and so they've told us that ORC doesn't need to be there. So,
ORC doesn't need to be there? Not sure how to take that, actually.
Well, the ORC
but I think I've got you.
Withdrawn, but we don't need to be at the mediation.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, sorry. I was a bit flippant. Councillor Deacon.
On that topic, pardon me. Of Oceana Gold and a new pit with a waste rock stack and water dam. And this all sounds familiar. We've had this situation for a long time. I'm just checking that my understanding's correct here. That the consents that Oceana Gold operate under are such that when they create a pit and the associated waste rock and dam and so on, the requirement is that when they have finished with that pit, it is backfilled and rounded off and restored to at least the original condition the land was in before they started excavating. Now, have I got that right?
I'd be very surprised if you had that right looking at the size of those pits, Mrs. Weaver.
Mr. Chairman, the consents don't require backfilling the pits unless it's operationally efficient for them. One of the major costs of their operation is shifting rock around, and they don't want to do it twice. So, also, when you take rock out of the pit, it won't fit back in again once you've mashed it up a bit. So
what are we talking? Like it's some small, some lakes?
Yes.
And for example, I've seen examples where they can be made to look quite attractive, yeah. And one of the ORC's roles is to make any contamination impacts less than minor. So when they move on, what's it going to look like? Is it going to be reasonably attractive?
Mr. Chairman, the overall rehabilitation plan for the whole site is to have rehabilitated waste rock stacks, which will look like slightly unusual hills. Some of them a bit flat on the top. Some pits, which will be lakes. Some silt ponds, which will be stocking ponds. And the overall plan is to have a cycle trail and walking tracks through that area.
Fantastic.
And from a financial perspective, we've previously talked the fact that we have a significant bond with Oceana Gold, yeah?
Who? Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mr.
Donnelly. Mr. Donnelly, yeah? We have a significant bond with Oceana Gold so that we can have some comfort that what Mrs. Weaver's described will occur, yeah?
Yes, we do.
How much is the bond?
I had $10 million in my mind.
I think it's about $17 million, but it's reviewed annually. So that process for this year is just being undertaken now.
They don't deposit that money, I take it. That's a promissory note, is it, or something similar?
Yeah, it's a promissory note.
Yeah.
We've got two bonds. Part of it's with PNB Paribas in part with HSBC.
Yeah, thank you. Councillor Deacon.
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm better informed now than I was.
Yeah.
And I know the kind of shapes that Mrs. Weaver's talking about. And I know the lengths that the company has gone to in terms of the creation of ad parks and so on. But I thought those pits were filled. I stand corrected.
Okay. The recommendation, the report be noted. Is there any further discussion? If no further discussion, if we're going to move it. Councillor Robinson, a seconder. Councillor Bowell, those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. And I think our final report, the regular committee is deemed permit replacements and water groups for the reporting period 23rd of January to 3rd of March. So there have been a number of meetings, I think, since our last committee meeting, one in Gibston, Parkburn, Arrowtown, and another one upcoming in Strathtyre. And the meetings proposed for Albertburn, Queensbury, and the Pizza Irrigation Company did not proceed as consultants that were already involved in preparing permits for replacing these water tanks. So I think that's a good news story. And next week, the 29th of March, there is a deemed permit forum, Alexandra. So, Mrs. Weaver, are we heading in the right direction?
I believe so, Mr. Chairman.
And, okay. Councillor Deacon.
The key question in my mind is the 29th of March meeting that seems to be so critically important to our whole process. Can I ask through you what the response has been like? Because I understand people have been individually invited.
Yeah.
Do we know whether this meeting has been well received and will be well attended?
And before I pass it on to maybe, is it Mrs. Rove to answer that? My understanding, the people that have been invited or the people that are expected to be there are those that haven't attended previous meetings. Whether there's a double up and people go to both, I'm not sure. Mrs. Rowe, are you the person to talk to about this?
I don't think I've seen it to hand, but I can certainly ask the person that's receiving the RSVPs and probably update at my committee this afternoon.
Oh, great. Thank you. That's good. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Noon.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mrs. Weaver, I just had a... Mrs. Weaver, I just had a question about the reduction in the number of...
Through the chair. Through the chair, Councillor Mayne.
Through the chair.
Through the chair.
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman. Mrs. Weaver, I have a question around the number of deemed permits that are now, since April 2014, reduced from 458 to 390, on the assumption that some of those are consent replacements. Are those consent replacements fully operative? So in other words, have they been completely resolved in terms of
any appeals? Are there any appeals outstanding with those consent replacements?
Through you, Mr. Chair, we don't have any objections or appeals in respect of any of those replacements, so they have been completely resolved.
And roughly, the number of those consent replacements would be, there's a reduction of 68, so a third of them, maybe?
Through Mr. Chair, we recently started work on tracking what sort of replacements or surrenders or cancellations these are, because as they disappear, some of them are simple surrenders because the person may not wish to spend money on measuring them when they don't use them very much, or they might have been cancelled because they haven't been used, or they might have been replaced. We're just starting to get a system in place so that we can track what sort of replacement or surrender or whatever it is so that we can report on that in the future.
Okay. Yeah, that number eventually comes forward, you know, so we know over a 3-year period it's reduced by X number. It would be useful just to know how that's tracking.
Great. Great. Thank you. If no further discussion, the recommendation report be noted. No further discussion?
Evident move, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Noon, a seconder. Councillor Bowell, those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you very much. I close today's meeting of the Regulatory Committee. Is it a morning tea time? What time do we have morning tea, Mr. Prodecker? 10:15.